Me in Psalms, the 34th chapter, Psalms 34. While we're getting there, I just want to tell you about something that happened to Debbie and I years ago. It was 1985. We were serving in a church in Birmingham, Alabama, and then we found out that we would no longer be serving in the church in Alabama. You ever had one of those events? Those are real exciting, aren't they? I want to write those on the calendar. Hey, guess what? We're not going to be here anymore. Now, this doesn't add to it in the intensity. Anytime anybody loses their employment or there's a change in that circumstance, it's tough. I understand that. And I'm not trying to amp it up or anything, but I got to tell you something that maybe you don't understand. When a pastor or minister is no longer used in a church, most times he is going to move. He's going to uproot. He's going to leave. He's going to take his kids out of class and out of school, and they're going to leave. And that's just the truth of the matter. That's all there is to it. I don't mean this the way it sounds, but most people in a church, if you don't like your church, then you know what? You don't have to lose your employment. You don't have to lose where you live. You're not going to take your kids out of school. You're going to go across town or whatever. You know, there's a lot of options there. But for us, there were no options. We weren't going to be going anywhere, and we were just distraught. The tough thing that happened next was a little unexpected. There was this Bible study there in Birmingham. We knew this lady who led it. Her name was Barbara Stevens. And she had this Bible study called Abundant Life Bible Group. And it was this incredible Bible study that she led. She just led it in her home. And it was one of those things that it just started small and grew big. And everybody just loved to be there. So we were just kind of just dumbfounded. We were just lost. We just didn't know what to do. So we went over there with some other people to Barbara's Bible study, and we weren't even thinking about this. We just wanted a place to go. And in the middle of all this, you know, not because she necessarily directed her comments toward us, but out of nowhere, we just found ourselves asking the question, why? And there was a really good friend of ours that was serving in the youth department with us, and he was kind of like my right-hand man. And in the midst of all of this, it got a little soft, you know what I'm saying? It got a little serious and a little tense, if you will, for all the right reasons. He looked at us, and he just said, why? And I still remember it like it was yesterday. We just fell apart. I mean, to the point that I'm embarrassed to think about how fallen apart we were. I mean, one of those when, as a full-grown adult, you're laying on the floor, weeping openly, and you're just devastated. And in the context of that moment, it's totally appropriate. It's no big deal. You're not embarrassed or anything else. But I have talked to Mark Simpson, and I said, hey, do you remember Abundant Life? He says, I don't want to talk about it. He said, that was just the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me. You know, and it's amazing how, obviously in the context of what he was saying, is that looking back on it now, away from that moment, I just don't even want to relive it. Well, we thought that was about it, and then we were moving, and the van came and got all of our stuff, and we were going to relocate to a place called Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pretty cool deal, looking back on it, that God put us here in Oklahoma, and we've loved it ever since. But we went into our daughter's bedroom, and we had wallpapered it, and we put a little chair rail up and all this stuff. There was our first baby, and it was just this beat-up 40-year-old house, and we did all this stuff. And then next thing you know, Debbie and I, it just hit again. And we were just sitting on the floor in this empty little bedroom and just started bawling all over again. I thought, you know what? I need help. I need medical assistance. I need a counselor. I mean, I am losing it here. And if this happens another time, it's three in a row thing, I think, you know, that's it. I'm done. And it was just amazing how all of that happened. And there are times in our world where everything crashes in. And the problem is that we don't know how to focus, and we don't know what to do. We're confused. This is a new experience for us altogether. Maybe we don't have the coping mechanisms. You wonder, who can you turn to? On and on and on, those questions and those thoughts and those feelings come. And I want us to address that in Psalms 34 today. I heard years ago, everybody know who David Reaver is? If you don't know who David Reaver is a gentleman who was in Vietnam. He was on one of those patrol boats that went up through the rivers. He had a grenade by his head. He was fixing to throw it at the enemy. The enemy fired. It hit the grenade, the phosphorus grenade. It exploded and just absolutely just burnt the majority of this man's life. His ears weren't real ears. They just stuck to his head, scarred unbelievably. He had a tremendous ministry where he would go to these high schools and he would, you know, do high school assemblies and things like that. After a high school assembly one morning, the principal said, Dave said, will you please visit with a young lady that's in my office? So he said, sure. And he went in there, and there was this young lady, and he said, you know, she was just stone cold. Just stone cold. He said, we've had so many difficulties with her, but not really in acting out, but just by just being there. She's just hard as a rock. And he began to tell him her story, that she came from a very difficult circumstance, different horrible family. On top of that, her grandfather had raped her repeatedly. And he said, we just need somebody to just kind of, please, just invest in her. See if you can get through to her. And he went and he talked to her a little bit, and he asked her, he said, sweetheart, why are you so hardened? And she just very matter-of-fact, as if she was reading it off a sheet, began to tell him the things that had happened to him. And he said, I couldn't hold it back. I just began to weep openly at her story. And guys, listen, I know you think I'm a crybaby. And it's because of the stinking am. But he just said, I just started crying. And he said, what really alarmed me and what caught my attention is she looked at me, she goes, nobody has ever cried for me before. And he said, I saw what probably looked at forced at first, but a little smile come on her face. And he said, I will never, ever forget that young lady. Let me take you to Psalms, the 34th chapter. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and to cut off the memory of them from the earth. But in verse 17, it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all of their troubles. It goes on to say in verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Where we're going in the next few minutes, you can't put it on the calendar and say, at this appointed time, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to react to it, and this is what God's going to do. You can't do that. But today, regardless of where you are and regardless of what's going on, there are some of you that you need this today. This was your appointment. It was on God's schedule, not yours. Because here's what it says. First, it says this, the righteous cry. But don't just say the righteous cry out. Let me ask you, what does the righteous have to cry about? That word righteous means that we're in right standing with God. Everything's cool with me and God. My sins are forgiven. God's my Lord and Savior. I'm a good church member. Whatever, you're going down that road, and that picture is that everything ought to be going pretty good for you. But the Bible says the righteous cry out. And let me tell you, the true righteous, whether they cry openly or inwardly, privately, or anything else, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of extreme humanity. Verse 18 says this, God is sensitive to the brokenhearted and those who have a contrite spirit. He says the brokenhearted, those of us who have just had our hearts crushed. Somebody said something to us, somebody did something to us, whatever. We've been betrayed, we've been disappointed, you name it. But that contrite part means this, to be severely and sincerely remorse. We have done something and we feel so bad about it that we have a hard time even going on. But God is not just looking for the things that we have done that have broken our lives through our own issues, but also exterior circumstances, if you will. It's bad enough when we've done something to cause grief in our life, but it's also worse when other people have made decisions, other things have happened that we didn't ask for. I was talking with Lori today and this precious little boy who's out in California, and she said he is fighting for his life. This is your niece's baby. He was born literally only about 3 pounds, and he got up to about 1 pound, I'm sorry. Got up to about 4 pounds, now he's back down to 3. Here's a little baby that is just fighting for life. You know what? He did not ask for that. He's not had opportunity to do anything bad and horrible to make that happen. This kid is fighting for life. But guess what? There's also a mother, and there's a distant family that sits in our pews every Sunday. And you know what? This thing is just like a ripple effect. Sometimes things happen to you and you didn't make your mind up for it to happen. It's not because you're mean and evil. It happens. And you're brokenhearted. And the Bible tells us that God is going to be kind to you. And do we have reason to cry? Over in the verse next to this, verse 19, David says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I can handle one or two. Many. That word literally needs to give you the picture that it's like waves. Something hits and then boom, before you can recover, another thing hits and another thing hits and another thing hits. This isn't just about they come in threes. They come in multiples. That's the way it feels sometimes, isn't it? There's just this overwhelming weight and it just like something keeps adding to it and adding to it and adding to it and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Let me give you the definition of affliction. It is condition of pain, distress, grief, or misery. Are you excited about how encouraging this message is so far? Can you just give me a hand clap about how exciting this is? I mean, this is like you're just kind of adding to all of this stuff. But verse 19, he says this, listen, it's not a couple of things, it's going to be a lot of things. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is here today. God has showed up because he knows what you're going through. And like I said, this may not have been your appointment, but it was his appointment. And he came here today to hear your cry and to do something about it. Because it goes on to say this, and the Lord hears. No one likes to be ignored when you need to be noticed. Nobody likes to be overlooked when something desperately wrong is happening. Remember the good old days of the busy signal? They've been replaced by the voice message. Just leave me a message. Well, that makes us feel a little better. There was a voice saying, hi, I got your call. I'll call you back later. But that doesn't mean they're going to call back later. And when we are hurting, we want to and we need to be heard. And it's even worse when we're calling upon the Lord of this universe who has all the power and the authority and the ability to do something about it. We need to know that he's here. And this is what David is trying to get across to us. Listen, he hears everything you say. And let me read directly off my notes. But there are times when I want to cry, and sometimes that cry needs to be alone. I want to do it in private. I don't want it for public show. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be heard. You know why? Because a cry demands an audience. I need somebody to recognize that what's going on in my life is real. That's why I cry. Let me tell you what, we do this in our relationships a lot, whether it's husband and wife or whether it's, you know, best friends or whatever. We have this look on our face and we have this demeanor, we have this behavior, and we hope that they will pick up the nonverbal communication and say, oh, what's wrong? How are you doing? What can I do for you? Bless your heart. The truth of the matter is, most of the time they don't see that. Or if they do, sometimes they overlook it because, you know what, our cry wasn't loud enough. But this isn't about crying so loud. This is about just knowing that God hears. Because if they don't see it, if they don't notice it, even if they ignore it, you just need to know that God doesn't. Because God ultimately is the one that's going to help us. 2 Samuel 22:7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. This isn't about my God will, it's about my God did. This is not a testimony of what God's supposed to do. This is a testimony about what God did. This is a track record being formed here. He hears and he answers. But the first thing we understand is, listen, he is listening and he is hearing when we cry. Psalms 4:3 says this, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when we call upon him. There are times when you understand the power of presence. I understand if somebody's with me, that's comforting. But there are times when I need to know that somebody hears me and that somebody is understanding, and especially if they could do something about it, and that's where we go next. Psalms 34:17 continues and says, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. It is one thing to hear. It is one thing to listen. It is one thing that it is registered. It is cut through all of the clutter, and you heard me. But it's another thing for somebody to do something about it, especially when they can, but sometimes they don't. And that happens to us a lot, doesn't it? But we cannot associate that with our God. You have been disappointed by man time and time again. You have been disappointed by the system. You have been disappointed by circumstances. You've been disappointed through relationships. But don't carry all that over to God and assume that God is going to be the same thing and somehow you're going to be shuffled to the back of the deck and that when he gets around to it and if he's in a good mood, he'll take care of you. God's not like that. God gives you extreme priority. We are going to end somewhere in the midst of this service today and we'll say a prayer and at the end of it we'll say, in the name of Jesus, amen. And I love saying this. You've heard me say it before, but it's, again, you need to understand that the reason we do that is not because we need a tag at the end of our prayer. We are saying that for two reasons. Because, number one, there's only one person who really understands what I am praying for and why I need that prayer answered, and it is Jesus Christ. Because sometimes I can cry, I can fall apart, I can just bawl all over you, or I can just sulk, I can pout, you name it, and no matter how much time we spend, you will still never really understand what I'm needing and what I'm going through. But Jesus does. And there's further evidence that he is the only person who can do anything about it. Sometimes we go to people, and I mean, we wear them out. We talk to them, and we need them. We need somebody to listen. We just need an audience. We need somebody to have some compassion. We need somebody to understand. We need somebody to tell us it's okay. But at the end of that, we all understand all they can give us is their ears and their heart. Most of the time, they can't do anything. There are prayer requests. There are things that come up in this church, and I'm going, I wish I could just write a check. But even if I could write a check to cover the immediate expenses, it still isn't going to meet the need. You wish you could shuffle the deck. You wish you could change things. You could do something. All of that being said, there's only one person who can do anything about it, and his name is Jesus, and that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not so that we can just end our prayer with a cute little antidote. The last thing is he says he delivers us out of all of their troubles. Not some, but all. Now, I understand sometimes there's a little timing issue. I tend to think that all means all right now. I tend to think you're a little late, God. If you're going to do all of this thing, well, all should have started 3 weeks ago. But no, in the midst of just sitting in little Casey's bedroom and just crying our eyes out, God told us, I've got everything under control. And it took a little while for all of that to develop. But what God wanted us to know was that we heard him just like he heard us. And it's so important because God is unlimited. But the problem is that he's limited only in one area, and that's by our disbelief. It's when we really believe that God can't do this, because look at this. Look at what's happening. Look at the circumstances. Look at the size of my problem. Look at the dollar signs associated with all the zeros that I've got to come up with. Boom, 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 boom. And we start thinking like that, and all of a sudden, we've reduced God by unbelief that this little situation can't be handled. Listen, I don't know if this can sink deep enough into your spirit to make a difference in your life or not, but it's still the truth, regardless of whether you believe it or not. You are his priority. I don't know how God does it, because I'm his priority too. That's why he's the almighty God. You're talking about the supreme, ultimate multitasker. It is God. He can take care of your extreme problem and my little paper cut at the same time. That's what makes him God, and we need to remember that. The Hebrew word for troubles literally takes us by definition back to that other word of affliction. Extreme distress, pains, problems, all of these type of things. And God says, listen, your hurt, your trouble, your affliction, it's the biggest. It's above Dave's, it's above Bob's, it's above Griff's. You know why? Because it's yours. Because it's yours. And God wants you to know, I hear you. And I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to take care of all of them, not just some. And if we could just get that in our gut, God will do some powerful, powerful things. But here's the thing that most of us need to understand. Sometimes we just need God out of heaven to speak in our heart and say, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry if it's tears. It's okay to cry if it's just something deep in our heart that just non-verbally, but verbally, it's just screaming. It's okay if we literally, with our voice, say, God, I am crying to you. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? It's okay. Because, you see, we live in this society where we're supposed to be big boys and girls. We're supposed to stand on our own 2 feet. We're supposed to handle this. Hey, suck it up. You got yourself into this. You can get yourself out. Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of things we get ourselves into that we can't get out. I don't know how we are so gifted at getting into problems that we're not gifted enough to get out. But most of the time, we can't. And you can do a whole lot of things trying to do that, but God is going to be there to rescue you. The story was of a mother who had worked hard all day. She came home. She fixed this awesome dinner. And she was just so excited over everything, but then everything started going wrong. She forgot something on the timer on the stove, just burnt something. Next thing you know, everything's falling apart. Nothing's going right. She dropped this big casserole on the bottom, on the kitchen floor. It's all busted, and her little daughter's just kind of watching all this stuff. And she's just stood there and put her head in her hands. And this cute little girl, with just the innocence of youth, just walks over to her, grabs her by the pants, starts tugging her pants, says, Mommy, it's okay to cry if you want to. I got to tell you, if the right circumstance, if you were in that Abundant Life Bible study moment right now, you would literally just be weeping just because I said so. Not because I gave you permission, but by definition, whatever you're experiencing, that's what would happen. And some of that, you may have to go back a decade to drag that thing out. But it's still one of the troubles in your life. It's still something somebody did, somebody said, somebody touched you inappropriately, somebody hurt you, somebody fired you, somebody said something damaging about you. You have been wounded so deeply. And you know what? That trouble has never been taken care of because you never allowed yourself to cry over it. And I'm not talking about grieving. I'm talking about crying out to God saying, God, I want this thing done. The righteous cry and God hears. John said this in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled, because offenses will come. David said this, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know what Jesus said? Come unto me. Come unto me. There's been a lot of people in your life, they've said, I'm there for you, and they weren't there for you. There's a lot of systems that said, I'll help you, and they didn't help you. There's a lot of things you leaned on and thought that they were going to be there when you needed it. They weren't there when you needed it. God has never let you down. God has never, ever, ever, ever let you down. And today he wants you to know, you can fake it, you can ignore it, you can deny it, you can explain it away, but what we probably need to do is just come to the grips that there are times when I just need to cry out to God. I need to say, oh God, merciful God, God that created all of this and created me, I desperately need you. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, today, Lord, we are in a public setting, and some things just aren't appropriate. But that doesn't turn off what's going on the inside. Not for one minute has that ever, ever turned off what's going on the inside. God, a lot of us got up this morning, we shaved, we showered. For ladies, we put up makeup. We came to this church with the expectation of having fellowship, and we've had it. We've enjoyed the time we've been here. We've sung songs to you. We've felt your presence, but the turmoil inside is still there. Because the cry is, oh God, I desperately need you. And today, Father, you have rescued us through the words of David. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. Finally, there's somebody listening. And he has promised that he will deliver us from all our troubles. Father, will you give us the strength in the next few moments to just cry out to you? Doesn't matter if it's verbal. Doesn't matter if it's privately. Doesn't matter if it's really somewhere inside. Doesn't matter if this setting doesn't give us the permission. We're not encouraged to just release it verbally or outwardly, publicly. But God, whatever's going on inside that is nothing but a raging war that just looms within our lives and our hearts, in our memories, and in our spirit, I pray, oh God, in the next few moments that you will remind us, hey, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm going to stay true to my word. I am coming to deliver you. And not just to make you feel a little better. I'm not going to just get you over the hump. I'm not just going to get you through this problem. I'm going to deliver you from all of your troubles, because that's who I am and that's what I do. As we sing this song, oh God, I pray that our hearts will rise to its purest moment to say, oh God, hear me out. Now let me trust you for all of these things. In Jesus, here it comes. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before we're dismissed today, stand to your feet. Sing this song with a new mentality, that this song represents where you are, what your cry is, and what God wants to do. These altars are open. If God's calling you to just come and just fall before him at an altar, please come. Don't hold back, because God's not going to hold back if you want. Amen. Let's sing this together.